Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And this broadcast is for October 11th, 2020. What a funny name, Gregory Penn. It's an interesting thing how we name our bodies, hey, and our personalities, and that emperor of all malice. I'm grateful to be with you. We're going to look at the idea of what good is happening in our world today. It seems that people are very upset at the idea that there's nothing positive coming out of all of this. And that's exactly what the powers to be want to have happen. It is to confuse you, derange you, get your emperor of all malice all stirred up, the ego, the vanity, the pride. It's to make you feel paranoid. And once the powers that be, government in general and the collective unconscious, can invoke this paranoia in you, then your psychology will do the rest of the work. Because deep inside of all of us, there is this paranoia, this fear of not obtaining peace, not obtaining the conventional lifestyle that most people want in order to become what they think of as happy. Happy is big in our society. We want to be happy and free. We want to think we're free. We think freedom is the right to do anything we want. And this is so parochial, pedestrian, and it is not true. You can't do whatever you want and not affect someone else. It just, you know, can happen in this world. It's one of the laws that is. And with overpopulation the way it is, you can't turn around without saying, excuse me, somewhere, because you're in someone's way. So we have to look at our life in a gracious way. And if you really want to understand the nature of your livingness, it's about the graciousness of yielding to kindness and compassion at all times, rather than thinking in terms of my rights and what I want to do. The person who lacks the inner acuity for gentleness and mercy does not understand this. Hence, we have the majority of people in this world fighting and reacting the way they do in order to get what they want and to think that it is their right to have everything they want. One of my students said in session, I finally get it. She had been in session with me for years. She said, I finally get it. I want to be entitled. I didn't know it. I just thought it was my right. And I finally get it. only took 25 years, but she got it. Yes, we think that gaining our entitlement is what our life is all about. So we're going to go into three questions from three different people about what good is all of this that we're going through right now. And maybe I can shed a little bit of light on this. First question comes from Hanson. He lives in California, he says. That's all he tells me. What good is there in all of this crap, he says. And then he lists all the things that are going on, the fires, the protests, the politics, all of the things that are going on and how people are reacting. And he said, what good could there be in this? He's wanting me to extract some sort of positive message out of this. And he wants me, I guess, to say things like, convince him that this is all going to be good in the end. Hanson, I am not a lollipop person. I have never been the kind of guy, the kind of teacher that would paint a picture for you that is rosy. And with all the religions in this world and with all the training that most of us have had who are in the field of theology, etc., we got ourselves here by sticking our head in the proverbial ostrich hole and not really seeing what's going on and what has been going on. I myself have been talking about it for many years. There are many things that are being revealed now that I talked about when I was teaching formally. Nobody liked it. And then Hansen and I talked about it in retreats, the Kali Yuga stage that we were entering into, and I warned my students about it. They rolled their eyes. They made fun of me. They said, oh, Greg, you're so negative, la, la, and here we are. And the same thing could be said of Al Gore. Al Gore warned us of the fires. He warned us of how the climate was going to change, and everybody rolled their eyes. Oh, he got an Academy Award for it, but politicians who got us into this mess in the first place haven't been fired. They haven't had to pay the price. They have no consequence because they all rolled their eyes at what he said. People like Rush Limbaugh and all these people that said there just is no climate change. Here we are. And this is due to the fact of not having the courage nor the mental acuity to handle the facts of life. So you say, what good is there in all of this crap, which we brought about ourselves? There is good. There, well, what is that word, and what does that word mean, good? Who is good? What is good? Good is what benefits a person, and that doesn't last long, and you got to consider the price one pays for that good, the consequences for that good, because most of the time that good has something to do with a consequence that's going to happen if we're not careful. So here is what I would like to say to you, Hansen, and I thought about this a while before I answered your question. The only good that is going to come out of this is the realization of our mischief. That, first of all, the soft fetters that we desire, the easy, comfortable life where everything is sweet and perky and emotionally, shall we say, gratifying, is how we got here. And if you want to return to that, you're going to find this is going to happen again and again and again. As I have said before on this program, there is a large part of the American public that is mentally ill. And the way they got to this mental illness is through genetic inheritance. And this genetic inheritance was cultivated through the whole effort of trying to satisfy emotional needs through gratification. That is the true meaning of it all. Doesn't go any further. You can look into your own genetics, Hansen, and see how you are linked to the primeval part of yourself, the Neanderthal part, the part that is the knuckle dragger who, kills first, takes names later, and all that other, clever stuff that people like to make out. We are the issue. We've always been the issue. It always is we the people. And it's always in the pursuit of a life that we desire, that we think we have the right to, that we're entitled to, the right to have everything we want, when we want, and as we want it. And that's the way we think. That's the way we live. That's the way we are. And to get over that, it's going to be a hurdle that I don't think people are up to. Frankly, I just don't see it. Even in the face of realizing how self-destructive we have been, people will insist upon the idea that they are right in their assumption that they are here to be free and have what they desire. This pursuit of happiness in our Constitution is the trickery. It is the idiot's button. And that does not promise happiness. The pursuit should be to awaken, to see the truth, to know the truth that sets us free. That That is what it really should be. But that is not what our forefathers had in mind, because they didn't know what the hell they were doing. Don't make a god out of these guys. They were just trying to get away from the throngs of and the tenions of England and the king and the taxation. And look where we are now. Government is the average American's biggest enemy. The government is. They don't do anything. They don't help. They are scattered in their opinions. They can't come to a decision. They help a little here, help a little there, just enough. And then they quit. This PPP program that they quit on, because they can't agree. And you look at all these people who are paid a lot of money to just, as you say, stir up trouble. Just seems ridiculous. Your greatest enemy are those of your own household, as Jesus said. And he meant that in all ways. And that has to do with our families often, and government, and the whole thing. It's really quite ugly. But we do it anyway. And the reason we do it is because we are lazy. We want other people to do our thinking for us. And because we want to do it this way, to live our life this way, we miss the meaning and the significance of our own livingness. So this crap that you talk about with the fires and the protests and the ugly politics that are going on right now, what good? It is just further mischief on our part, causing us more and more problems. And it gives way to the only thing you can do is to transcend. Spiritually transcend. And Hanson, you're probably not going to do that. By what I've read in your email, there was no sense of urgency for spiritual awakening until you awaken. And that is the true separation from a culture and a society that lives in hatred. You're going to suffer all the things that you see going on right now. And these things are ugly. They really are. And they're going to get uglier. You wait and see. You don't have to be a soothsayer to see that. Wow. Uplifting, huh? Thank you for your question, Hanson. Please forgive me. Namaste. I know what people want to hear. I know that click, click, turn this off now. But that's why we are where we are, because nobody wanted to see that the king had no clothes. Is God still good as he punishes us? This is from Thomas in, let's see, where did he say he was from? Oh, New York. New York City. New York City. I get a few from New York City. That's kind of nice. Is God still good as he punishes us? What makes you think, Thomas, that God is punishing us? Do you think he's like thee and me, where we seek vengeance and pride and vanity? Do you really think that God is this man, a man, up in the sky somewhere, in the ethers or wherever, and he created all this mess with making a human being and men having loneliness issues, man disease, as I call it, and the way this world operates and women working their iniquities and the whole thing. Do you really think, you know, God sat down, there's this man with a long beard or however you want to see him, and thinking, you know, I created this and they're not acting right and I'm just going to have to put my thumb on them and twist and make pain until they learn what my will is? Are you really that feeble, parochial, really pedestrian? You really think that there's vengeance and hatred in the universe, and it comes towards those who don't know what is right from wrong or good from bad, as people say? Is that what you think? Well, with that kind of mind, you're going to find more and more that you and whoever you love with all of this is going to fall into the gap of the emperor of all malice. And that emperor within you is the ego. And that ego is going to take you into some very, very difficult places. You probably can't appreciate it now. But like I said to my students years ago, you'll get it. No, God, as Jesus said, God is love. And so that begs the question, does love allow all this crazy stuff to happen? All this malice, all this hatred? The only thing you need to understand is that love is love. And if the universe is based in the premise of a love that is greater than my mental acuity can understand, it is time for me to become aware, to drop that mental premise, my psychology, for the sake of awakening to that love. And that is the essence of all transcendence. Now, if you can do that, if you can live in that, if you can sustain that kind of loving kindness, you will find yourself, without trying, to pursue compassion and mercy in this world. The question really isn't about God. The question is about ourselves. Are we good? Is there any good in us that allows us to do kind and merciful things in spite of what is going on in the biological and physical world? Can we get in harmony with love in us? This takes meditation. This takes patience. This takes, in my opinion, tone work, learning how to atone and attain through tone the meaning and the significance of love itself. Are we willing to do that? No, we are not. So this whole pandemic and all of the things that run with the pandemic, well, they are in us, and they are going to conquer us as we go on in this lifetime, doing the things we do, and living in the hatred we so enjoy living in. Hate and fear really turn us on. We love it. And they turn on our genetics, our DNA for survival, and we become ruthless. There is this change in the chemistry of our physical body that makes us primeval, like cavemen. We go out into the world and we start doing and saying things that are unkind. Thomas, read the book Behave by Robert Sapolsky. Read it. Come to understand at least your own biology. If you can't understand your biology, if you think that your biology isn't a part of all of this, then you miss. And you will become a part of the problem. The question is, do you want to be a part of the problem, or do you want to be the answer to your problems? Your question can be answered only in how you see yourself. Are you, or is there, any quote-unquote goodness in you? Now, people spend their whole life defining this state of goodness. It is the meaning of our life to become the goodness we want to see in the world, as Gandhi said. Your whole life and mine is not about the accumulation of money and possessions and wealth. It is about learning what goodness is. I mean, authentic goodness, and not being fooled by the temptation to believe that the outer world is something different from the inner world. I have to see the meaning and the significance of my life as the goodness of my being. And if you're not living in that goodness, if you're not discovering that goodness, then you're not living responsibly. You must find the love that lives within you. There is only one thing that is good, and that is love. And Jesus said, God is love. So there you are, Thomas. I don't know if that could ever hit home with you because I don't know you. But I hope that helps you, and spread that to your friends in New York City. Please forgive me. Namaste. I heard this crazy guy on radio. All right, the last question. Raymond does not tell me where he lives. How should I consider how life is treating me based on how life is treating me? Raymond. Raymond, listen to me, my darling child of the infinite missing. Life is reflecting you, the qualities in you. It is reflecting all of us. It reflects our karma. It reflects how we think inside. As a man thinketh, so is he. You ever heard that? So what you are seeing in the world, in how you interpret it, how you live with it, how you accumulate knowledge, how you think of knowledge, what you think knowledge is, blah, blah. All of that is the accumulation of your own psyche. So you got to ask yourself, how should I consider the state of my mind as life is reflecting that state of my mind? How should I consider my livingness and my life based on how I interpret things coming to me and what they mean? You have to find significance in everything. If you can't find the significance of your life, it isn't because life isn't showing it to us. It's that we're not getting it. We're not seeing it. We're not recognizing it because we're too busy playing the card of I want to be entitled. I want to be free. I want to pursue my own happiness. I want what I think. I want what I think is right, blah, blah. And all of this goes on and on and on to nauseam, and no one ever truly gets it. They don't understand the meaning of their life and the significance of love in their life. So you ask me, how should I consider how life is treating me? Well, look at the quality of your own thoughts. Look at the way you live your life. Could you say that you live a life of mercy, compassion, and above all, forgiveness? Would you be able to go to your, what you think of, as your worst enemy, no matter what happened between the two of you, and say to them, please forgive me? Would you have that kind of courage? That kind of level of intimacy? No, I don't think most people do. I hope you do, but most people don't. They don't see that their greatest enemy was always living within themselves, and that it manifested in the outer world for reasons that they needed to see exactly what the enemy was, what the enemy was doing, and how this all works. Your greatest enemy are those of your own inner household, how you live within yourself, your value system, your beliefs, your theories, what you consider inconsequential, which is nothing in this world. Everything has a consequence to it. And if you're not careful, you'll miss that too. And that will cause you to live, well, helter-skelter. Oh, shouldn't say that, but there you are, cause you to live in the calamity that only the emperor of all malice can deliver to us. It's just the way it is. I'm out of here. Thank you, Raymond. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there's another week. I hope it helped you. You know, we're not victims here. The pursuit of what we call happiness is a huge problem. I'll be back on the air next week. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.